I was not humble runner. Because Chuck, you know, Chuck's run 100 miles in a day. That's hard to beat that one. You know, well, I did 110. You know, but so I was running every day, and I'd get up at 5, and it was fun to run in the dark. And we, after running outside, you know, you have a, you know what to wear. If it's 40 degrees, you know you definitely got to have gloves, and you wear your long johns, the new ones, or they've new and improved, you know. And when it's under 35, you wear those. And how much to wear to, according to the temperature. When it got under 25, you'd wear more, and when it was under 15, you stayed home because that's, there's no going outside. It hurts your head. So, and I would run in the dark, and I tried lights. Nothing worked, but after a while, I knew where all the potholes were because it's Cecil County, right? You know, God, don't run in Pennsylvania in the dark. You'll be in your own grave soon enough. So you'd run along, and you'd see the same cars at every time, so you knew your time. You knew how fast you were going because of the same, that Ford F-150 comes by every day at 5:37. You know, I'm a little late. I got to hurry up. The school buses came by, you knew we were real late. And so I would run in the dark, and it was like this connection to the universe. Like, look at me. No one else is awake but me, and I'm running. Aren't I the best? And I got into shape, and I felt great, and everything fit a little nicer. And I would stare at the stars. And I got to know the planets because I thought they were stars, but they were a different color, and they moved. Did you know that? The planets move, the stars, everything kind of moves. You know, in the wintertime, then, you know, Orion's upside down like this, you know, and then the summertime, he's like this. And so you kind of get to know these things. But in the morning when I would go by, I would see Jupiter, and it was so big. And then you get an app on your phone that tells you what the stars are, so you can kind of see. And so it's fun to watch them, and they keep moving. And then you'd see stars come together, and there'd be an orange one. You go, that's not Jupiter. That's a different one. That's maybe it was Mars or Venus, Venus or Mars. And so you got to know them. You got to know the stars. And then you sit down and you got to do a story about some wise men who found a baby. And how'd they get there? And why did they come? Why did they know who he was? And they live 600 miles away. We live in this country, as many of us don't even know who Jesus is. And yet, these people from 600 miles away came. There has to be a reason. What could it be? This is my theory. You see, in 605 BC, approximately 2,600 years ago, the king of Babylon named Nebuchadnezzar, he comes down to Jerusalem because they won't pay him what he wants. They're supposed to pay him tribute. And they don't, because why? Come down and prove it. And he does. He comes down and he proves that you should pay me tribute. He surrounds the city and he takes all the best and the brightest and the most beautiful women, the talented people. I'm pretty sure Sean Hearn would have got left behind in Jerusalem. Take me with you, Nebuchadnezzar. Now you stay here. We're taking the good-looking ones, the smart ones. I'd be left behind. Fair is fair. So anyways, a man named Daniel gets taken away, and he's taken to Babylon. And he's smart, and he's handsome, so he's raised up to it. He's a scholar, and they need scholars. One thing you always see about the Jewish community, whenever they get spread about out in the world, people come to them because they're smart, because they can read. They can write, because they have a written language. They move into middle in Germany, in the forests of Germany, and the German people can't read at that time, so the Jewish communities will be very helpful. And then, as you know, along the ways, they got resentful of the Jews. You've heard of that, right? Yeah. So sometimes some communities do not like the Jews. But here they are. Daniel comes and he helps this community. And God tells the people to, wherever you live, make families and help that city grow. Help out where you are. That's where you are. You want to be in Jerusalem, but you're not. So here's Daniel, and he's been raised to this high level because he can interpret dreams. And we've seen that before with Joseph. When Joseph could interpret dreams, he was raised to a high level. Daniel can interpret the dreams of the kings, and he's raised up to a high level. He's sort of what they call a sage. He's what they call a magus. He is a Magi, huh? What do you think, Karen? Where are we going with this? Okay, so it's 600 BC, and he's bringing with him all the books. He's bringing with him the Torah. He's bringing the book of Genesis and Exodus, Leviticus, Deuteronomy, Numbers. He's bringing, what comes next? Samuel? Anyway, I know the Bible. I know that I can't. you know all the books of the Bible. He brings them to them. And so they read them and they see what it says. And he gives them to the people and the wise men of the time. They start to read these things. Now, they believe in Zoroastrianism. Now, I'm not going to tell you all about Zoroastrianism because I don't want to convert any of you to it. But basically, these two forces in the world, there's good and there's evil. And they come to an apocalyptic event. And who wins? Good. And evil is thrown right in. So many places in the world. But who's going to bring about this peace? And so what they do is they read the scriptures and they believe in astrology and they read the stars. And we know, like, there's 12 tribes, there's 12 zodiac signs, aren't they? Who's an Aries like me? You're Aquarius, right? Now you're a Capricorn. A couple weeks from now, you'll be an Aquarius, right? And so we see this. They believe in this. They watch the stars, like I watch the stars. And so they know that something's coming one day. Something's coming because they read the scriptures. It says, out of Judah, the scepter's going to come, and he will be the Lion of Judah. And one day in about 3 BC, these men are sitting out there, and they're reading the scriptures, and they're looking at the stars. And what happens? In the constellation Leo, the Lion of Judah, right? What do they see? They see the king's star called Regulus, and it's there. And then what else do they see? They see Jupiter. And have you seen what Jupiter does? There's an Egyptian named Ptolemy, and he tried to describe what the Earth is, you know, the center of the universe at the time. And everything spins around it, but it falls short because it doesn't make sense, does it? It doesn't make sense because the other planets. What do the other planets do that makes it let us know that we are not the center of the universe? They go backwards. What do you think Jupiter does? Puts the brakes on and starts heading backwards? And they make a model of this. This is not logical, is it? And so they see, how do you explain Jupiter coming and then backing up? Because we're going faster than it, right? Because we're closer to the Earth, the sun. Because we're not, it doesn't go around us. We go around something else. We're not this, you believe you're not the center of the universe? Huh? What do you think of that? I can't believe I am. You know, my cats think they're the center of the universe, and they live like it. So here we have this. They're sitting there. They see this in the lion, and they see the king, and they see Jupiter, which is called righteousness in their language, and they see it all together. And they see Venus too, which means fertility of birth, and to them it means it's happening. Remember we saw when Mary and Zechariah and Joseph had the angel come, and what's his name? Gabriel. What happens when Gabriel shows up? It's on. Everybody knows it's on. They look up, they read the scriptures, and they see the stars. Do you think God gives us messages in the stars? What does Psalm 19 say? His handiwork is written in the sky. The heavens and the stars tell the story of God. Right? There's something to it. He gives us messages up there. And if you don't believe it, get up at 5 o'clock in the morning and go for a walk on a dark road and look at the stars. Hopefully Gore hasn't turned their lights on yet and you can't see nothing. Right, Chuck? A little bright over there. Can we dim them down for a little bit so we can see the northern lights? And we did see the northern lights over Gore a little ways back. So here they know it's coming. It's kind of neat, isn't it? So what do? They know a king is coming, and he's the king of the Jews. Here's what it says in Matthew. After Jesus was born in Judea, during the time of King Herod, magi from the east came to Jerusalem, and they asked, "Where is the one who has been born king of the Jews? We saw his star when it rose and have come to worship him." When King Herod heard this, he was disturbed, and all of Jerusalem with him. When he had called together all the chief people's chief priests and the teachers of the law, he asked them where the Messiah was to be born. We know that God has promised us the Messiah. We know in Genesis he promises it would come from Judah. We know that Moses said one day God will lift up a prophet greater than me. You got to listen to him. And then Malachi says one day it's coming. Everybody, it's coming. Sure, it's going to be 450 years away or depending on the time, 1,000 years. We got to be patient, right? God's patient with us. When's he going to bring this Messiah? 487 years after the restoration of Jerusalem, right? It's 408. Who can wait 487? When's Jesus coming back, folks? Do we know? We don't know. It might be tomorrow. Who knows when it'll be? We're waiting. What do you do in the meantime? Keep your eye on the prize, of course. So they ask, where is the one who's the king of the Jews? They know who is being born, the king. We saw his star and we've come here to worship him. King Herod, he's upset about this, isn't he? Because who's the king of the Jews? Herod. You've come looking, Herod's like, it's a me, I'm the king. You found him and you brought gifts. We'll take those. No, it's not you. It's not you, king. We see you there. So he brings his scholars and they say, where is the Messiah to be born? And they quote from Micah, the prophet, where is he going to be born? In Bethlehem, they said. For this is what the prophet has written. But you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are no, by no means least among the rulers of Judah. For out of you will come a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel. They know where it's coming. When's it coming? Now. Where? Bethlehem. What does everyone do? Nothing. Then Herod called the Magi and he said, he found out the exact time the star had appeared. It was how long ago? 9 months ago, wasn't it? You all know 9 months, right? 9 months ago is when they saw it. They started coming. Now the baby's born. He sent them to Bethlehem and he said, go and search carefully for the child. As soon as you find him, report to me so that I may worship him too. That's not his intent. And after they heard the king, they went on their way, and the star that they had seen when it rose ahead of them and it stopped over the place where the child was, because we know it backs up, doesn't it? Jupiter stops moving with us and then it goes backwards. See it for yourself. When they saw the star, they were overjoyed. And they came to the house and they saw the child with his mother Mary, and they bowed down and they worshiped him. Then they opened their treasures and they presented to him gifts of gold and frankincense and myrrh. Having been warned in a dream not to go back to Herod, they returned to their country by another route. We can get into that. People, I love it on the internet. They're so upset that we keep saying three kings. And what did the Bible say? It doesn't tell us how many kings. I don't care. They came. It wasn't in the stable they were there. It was in a house. How long do you think Joseph stayed in the stable or in that cave? They get there that night, no room. What are you going to do? It's the next day. Don't you think, Chuck, you start moving. You know, if you got to sleep in your car one night, you make sure you don't sleep in the car the second night. You find a place to stay. It's one night. Well, he was four. He was five. Jesus is Lord, right, Terry? 3 wise men or 52? Who cares? But men came because we see in Daniel, they were there. They know that they were educated. They know they read the stars, and the stars do what they see. And if you're really interested, you can get on an app that says Stargazer, and what on the app will tell you what the stars look like, the sky looked like in the year 3 BC. What was in the sky? You know that? They got everything on the internet. I tried to download and take a picture of a moving star, but it didn't work because you can't print a moving picture. You know that, friend? I kept hitting print. And I got nothing. I was going to show you all. But God, you can look it up for yourself. So these men come. And real quick, there's three reactions to Jesus. You got the king. What's his reaction to Jesus? Kill it. Whatever it is, kill it. You know the story. They go and they wipe out the town. And nobody complains because it's a small town. He's the king. And they go and they kill all the babies under 2 or 4 or 2 years old. And it's horrible. And Rachel reaps for her children because they are no more. Let's kill him. Then you have the scholars. They know who Jesus is. They know where he's going to be born. They know when he's going to be born. And when they hear the news, what do? They don't do anything. They're pretty indifferent. But we have wise men who look at the skies that God created, who read the word of God, and what do they do when they hear that the king is born of the Jews? Not their people, but of another people. They get up. They get up because it's exciting. They know who he is. He's the Son of God, and they go all that distance. When you go from Persia and you go to Palestine, you can't go straight. Why? Because there's no rivers. Where do you have to go? You have to go follow the Euphrates and the other one, the Tigris. Then you come back down. When you get on the Jordan, you come down. It's a long trip. So they come all the way, and they bring him the good stuff, don't they? They don't bring him anything from Pottery Barn. They bring him gold. Everybody likes gold, don't we? Gold is nice. This is not gold. This is gold. I went to Costco to buy some chicken. So you're sitting there thinking of the chicken wings. You're going to go, am I going to get the $16 package? It's just the two of us, or the $18 package, right, Fran? Which one are you going to get? Well, we're going to splurge. We're going to get the $18 package. I'm in line. One of the salesmen comes up and says, hey, we got gold back in Costco. Would you like to buy an ounce? It's on sale for $3,800. And I'm looking at my chicken packages going, I'm not sure which one to get, you know, for the $2. Do I want to spend $3,800 on gold? So gold is good, right? Now it's like $4,200. Did you know that? I should have bought that gold. Fran, did you get any when you were there? Yeah. We got I got my hearing aids and a jet printer ink, and I got some gold. Whew. You see, three reactions. That's what the story is. Not how many came, whether it was a stable or a cave, who cares? But men came because they knew what was happening, because they read it for themselves. Have I told you all this yet? Read it for yourselves. Look in the stars that he created. See what's happening. It's happening. It's happening at the time it said it was. And what are you going to do about it? You want to kill him? You want to kill Jesus in your heart? You want to be maybe a little different? We're going to bow down before him. What are we going to do, church? We're going to bow down before Jesus. Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for today. We thank you for the gift of the cup. We thank you for the gift of bread. A penitent heart comes today before this altar to worship you and worship you only, to lay down our burdens, lay them down today. We're all laden, heavy burden. We are weary, but be refreshed today. Come before Jesus, openly saying, you are Lord, you are Savior, nothing else matters. Amen.